There are very few people willing to roll up their sleeves and do the work that it takes to bring in the harvest.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. This is your host, Joshua Halyk. I'm in the studio with none other than the senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Jobe. God bless you, Pastor Mark.
Hey, it's great to be with you and all of our radio listeners.
You know, Pastor Mark, there's a lot of people who are looking at the world and wishing things were different. They're watching the news. They're shaking their fist. They're shaking their head at the church. The church has a black eye. People are saying, you know, these leaders, this church should be different. And you know, you open up to the words of Jesus, and he has something to say to us, doesn't he?
He really does. And especially these days, Joshua, isn't it true that you turn on the news and it just feels like there's just a lot of bad news?
Oh, yeah.
There's earthquakes and fires and floods and crime and political controversy and economic challenges. And it's easy to get depressed about all this. And it's easy to start pointing to people and say to the government, to the officials, to the mayor, to the president, to our military, to the business leaders and say, hey, what are you going to do about this?
Yeah.
But I love the fact that there is a power on earth that is an incredible, vibrant, ferocious power.
Come on.
And it's called the Church of the Living God.
Mm.
And here's the thing. I believe that in this passage, Jesus is telling us, hey, stop looking around there for answers. I've called you to make a huge difference. And so, but in order to do so, we have to roll up our sleeves and get ready to jump in the game and make a difference.
And that's what you've titled this message, Roll Up Your Sleeves. We're in Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 24. This is our Empowered series, Roll Up Your Sleeves. Here's the first half of that message now.
I believe a lot of us are like a Tesla that's not charged up. We have all the components to really do something. But many of you have not charged up your spiritual battery. You're not flowing with the power that is available to you. And so all the components are there, but you cannot fulfill your calling, your mission, your destiny in life because you are not flowing with the power that's available to you. So this message is about that. I'm looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 24. And I'm talking about rolling up your sleeves and using the power that we have available. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of Luke chapter 10. Jesus was approaching his final weeks on earth. This would be his last visit to Jerusalem, this city that was buzzing with people. And he was about to give a mandate to about 72 people that he was sending out. And I want you to see what it says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest, it's plentiful, but the workers, they are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into the harvest field. Word of the Lord. So if you're taking notes today, I'm talking about how you can get powered up to fulfill the mission that God has called you to do. There are four steps, I believe, that everyone who wants to really use the power that God has called them to, you have to be willing to do these four things. Number one, get ready to work. Get ready to work. You know, sometimes we think, it's like the old adage says, it's 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. A lot of people don't get what they want and don't achieve what God is calling them to do because it takes a lot of hard work. Here's the thing. I believe that listen to what Jesus was saying. Jesus took 72 people. We don't even know their names. There's 72 nameless people. They're not apostles. They're not writers of the Bible. Most of them are newer believers. They're just regular folks, blue-collar workers, that he says, I'm going to teach you to do things that you never dreamed that you could do. I'm going to use you to fulfill the mission that you thought was only, well, that only special people could do, but I'm going to empower you with power to fulfill the mission that I've called you to do. And then he says, I want you to look at the harvest field. Look out there. Look at the harvest field. And he says, the harvest is what? Plentiful. That means there's a lot of harvest. But the workers are few. You see, I think that sometimes we get it confused. We have this idea that there's a problem with the harvest. If you look across the landscape of America today, when it comes to spirituality, you will find some fairly disturbing things. For example, you will realize that there are churches, literally thousands of churches, a couple thousand, I think it's about 3,500 churches that close, Christian churches that close every year. Thousands of churches that are closing every single year. In fact, we here in Chicago itself, we have been given several empty buildings, practically empty buildings. We call them restarts. These are congregations that in the 50s and the 40s and the 30s, they were bustling with activity. They were packed out. They had to have two or three services. But over the years, they've dwindled down more and more and more. And usually when they come to us, they're typically about maybe 25, 15 people meeting in a 300 to 400 seat auditorium, older people barely keeping the lights on, barely able to survive, no one in the nursery, and they're saying, hey, we don't want to have to sell this church and it be torn down and turned into a strip mall. We don't want it to just be torn down and new condos built in some neighborhood. We want it to remain as a church. And when I dialogue, I'll often hear conversations like this, well, the world is different now. People are not interested in God like they used to be. The world is more secular. No one is interested in the things of God. They don't come around anymore. It's more hostile environment. It seems like in the past there was more openness, and what they'll point to is the harvest, and they'll basically tell me that it's really hard to reach people, that in the old days they would open up the church and ring the bell of the church and people would flock in. And so there's this idea that the harvest is difficult, that the harvest is hard, that people are not interested anymore. And I understand that cultures change, and I understand that we seem to be somewhat more in church than we used to be, but I still go back to the words of Jesus. And what Jesus says is the problem's not with the harvest. There are 10 million people in greater Chicagoland. Out of those 10 million people in greater Chicagoland, there are millions of people that desperately need God. But here's the problem. Jesus says the problem is not that there aren't people that need God, that there aren't people that are open. Jesus said the problem is that there are very few people willing to roll up their sleeves and do the work that it takes to bring in the harvest. It's not that they're not people that need God. It's that there's a shortage of people that can roll up their sleeves and say, here am I, God, use me. Man, did it get quiet in this place? Let me just give you a clue on something. Because I have people that come to us from sometimes all over the country, or leaders that come in, or people that visit us, and they hear that New Life has grown from, in our beginning we were 18 people, and now there's over 5,000 people in Chicagoland and several hundred people in other countries that meet. And so they talk about, well, what happened? And man, it must have been great that it just grew like this. And I'm going to tell you the truth. We didn't just grow and reach people just because Pastor Mark got up there and started preaching. If you had heard me when I was 21, you would have probably said, that poor kid. Ooh, ah, man, someone needs to train that boy. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a group of people in the beginning that got together, and we learned this, that if we learned that if you're going to make a difference, you have to have some people that are willing to roll up their sleeves and work. That this is hard work, that the harvest just doesn't happen, that this is what the Bible says. There's a principle in the Word of God. Some of you need to learn this principle because it doesn't just apply to the ministry world. It applies to every area of our life. It tells us in Scripture that the more you sow, the more you reap. And the less you sow, the less you reap. We live in a day and age where we all want something quick, fast. We want a solution that doesn't take work. We want to lose weight without having to go to the gym and sweat. We want a magic pill that sort of slims us down. We don't want to work at our marriage. We just want our marriage to happen and work because we love each other. We don't want to save finances. We want to win the lottery. We're not used to putting in hard work that it takes. But the Bible says this, that the more you sow, the more you reap. The less you sow, the less you reap. Here's what I want you to know, that good marriages over the long run, they don't just happen. You got to work at making it good. It takes work. It takes some investment to make a good marriage good over a long period of time. Listen, great kids don't just raise themselves. Hello? It takes some discipline, some care, some investment, some involvement, some help. It takes hard work to raise good kids. Your finances don't just grow by sloppiness. It takes hard work, investment, clarity, a plan of action to be able to be at a good place financially for you and your life and your family. In other words, anything that's good takes sowing, reaping, and hard work. And this is what Jesus says. The harvest is plentiful, but the problem is that the workers are few. And so he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. I look over Chicagoland. I look over at 10 million people. We've been praying for 1% for a while. You know what 1% of Chicago is? Just the city proper of Chicago. There's about 2.9 million people in Chicago. You know what 1% is? Come on, do the math a little bit, some of you. That's 29,000 people. We've been praying, God, let us reach 29,000 people.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Roll Up Your Sleeves, which is from our series called Empowered, Spirit-Filled Witness. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and his message called Roll Up Your Sleeves.
Let us reach 29. Now, there's a lot of other churches that got to do their part, but we want to do our part and reach 29,000 people. We're not just praying about it. You pray, and then you roll up your sleeves, and you start working. You say, we're going to work at it. And I believe that God is looking for churches that have the faith and the boldness to say, Lord, we want to make a difference in our city, in our community, in our world. We're not going to wait for other people to make a difference. God, use us to be a difference in this city and this world. Can I be honest with you? I hear a lot of Christians, we like to complain, or a lot of people, not just Christians, but there's a lot of people that like to complain about the state of our city. And we can blame it on the mayor's office. And we can blame it on the politicians. And we can blame it on the aldermen. And we can blame it on the police department. We can blame it on the educational system and CPS. And we can blame it on the business community. And we can say, why aren't they changing our city? Why is our city in such a mess? Why aren't they doing something about this? Why are they letting this happen? And I want to say, hold on a second. There's a lot of people in a lot of positions of power that have no idea what to do. But we, the people of God, I believe are the strongest force in the city of Chicago to bring about changes in people's lives, in our kids, in our families, in our community. We are the people that need to rise up and say, God, here we are. Use us. Jesus said, open up your eyes. Look at the harvest. The workers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth workers into the harvest field. Number two. So not only get ready to work, because it doesn't just happen. Number two, start where you are. Notice what he says in verse 3. Go, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. So stop waiting for the perfect timing. Some of us, before we're used of God, before we power up, we're waiting for the perfect timing. Jesus says, go. And I know that when you hear stories of like Grant, who's going to Africa, going to Nepal, working among, you know, orphanages, and some of you say, I wish I was 18 and living for God, and I would travel the world and go to another country and help people out and make a difference in the world. How many of you wish you could redo your 18 again? Yeah, some of us like, hey, you know, I wish I would have been in the right place to make a difference. And you say, well, Pastor, now I have a mortgage, I have a job, I have two kids, I have a car payment. I mean, it's a lot. I can barely get to Wisconsin Dells, let alone go out to the world and help orphans in Africa. So help me out here. But I want to say this. Listen, just because you can't go to Africa doesn't mean that you can't be on mission. You don't have to go to Africa to be on mission. When you start realizing that your mission field is when you walk out your front door, when you start looking at your job place as a mission field, at your neighborhood as a mission field, when you start realizing that go doesn't mean I have to travel far, but go may mean that I open up my front door and say, welcome to the mission field today. And this is what Jesus says. He says, go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating, drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. I think Jesus was preparing these 72 people to go out and make a difference. And so he was answering their objections ahead of time. Like the objection of, hey, I'm afraid of rejection. Jesus says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. You will be rejected. Not only will you be rejected, but people are going to try to get you. I mean, this is not an easy task. It will be tough. Secondly, people say, well, we don't have enough resources. And I think Jesus tells them, hey, you don't need a lot of resources to make a difference. He says, don't take a purse, don't take a bag. It's not about what you have. It's about who you are. You're going with the biggest message, and the biggest message is free. So he answers the objection about resources. And then number three, the idea of no one's really open. And you know what Jesus says? He says, go into a house and say, peace be to this house. If someone is there who promotes peace is there, then your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Listen, here's what Jesus is saying. There are people all over that are open, and there are people all over that are closed. Find the open people. Find people that are open. Make sure that you discover people that are open to the gospel and open to the things of God. Roll up your sleeves and get ready to work. Secondly, get ready to go. Start to view your world as your mission field. God has given you power to make a difference. You are a person that can bring about change in your family, in your community, in your school. But you have to overcome the objections in your own life of why you can't really make a difference. I hear a lot of people telling me this. Pastor, I just don't know enough about the Bible to share with someone. Can I be honest with you? You don't need to be a theologian or know the Bible backwards and forwards or even know the verses. All you really need to have is your own story. If you have an experience in which God has taken your life and touched you in such a powerful way that your life turned around, then you have the tool to let people know about Jesus, because no one can argue with your story. If you have a testimony, then that's what you have already. Start telling your story. No one can argue with your story. The blind man said, "I was blind, but now I see." That was his story. Number three. So get ready. Start where you are. Number three, look for the right people. Put your energy into those that are open to the message. Notice what he says in verse 8. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and you're not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town will be wiped from my feet as a warning to you. Be sure of this. The kingdom of God has come near. Verse 16. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects whom God, who sent me. So here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that there are people in your life that are open to the message of the gospel, that are open to God, that need God, that are praying. There are people in your life today that last night when they went to bed, they said to themselves, God, if you're there, send me a sign. I don't know who to go to. I don't know who to reach out to, but I need you. They may be your coworker, but because they've never heard you open your mouth in Jesus' name, they don't even know you're a believer, you closet Christian. They're saying, Lord, if I just knew someone that could open up the Bible and show me something about God, if I had someone to talk to, someone to pray with, and maybe you're right beside them, but they don't even know you have faith because you've never been bold about your faith. You've never talked about God. They desperately need God, but you've desperately kept your mouth shut because you're afraid someone's going to misinterpret what you say. They're going to ridicule you. They may not be open. There's something wrong with the harvest, you say. There's something, the harvest is hard. But really, the problem is the workers are few. I believe that there's people. How many of you are here today and you came to Christ and gave your life to Christ because a friend, a family member opened up their mouth and they shared Jesus with you? Just raise your hand. Come on, raise it high. The majority of the people in this auditorium are here because someone had the boldness to share with them. And what Jesus says is this. He says, if you walk into a house and they don't receive you, don't spend all your time with the hard people. How many of you know there's some people that just want to argue with you? They see you, they think, aha, I'm going to get to them. You know, you Christians are all hypocrites, and you go, oh, no, we're not. What version of the Bible do you read? Because I think they're all fake. Oh, no, it's not. And every time you're around them, you get in big arguments. You get feisty. I've never known someone that's come to Jesus that says, you know what, we were really good arguers together, and because of our heavy arguments, I came to Jesus. No one. So I want you to stop spending less time arguing with people and find people that are genuinely open to the things of God. And the Bible says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. You know what that means? If you have a nice pearl necklace, you don't throw it before a swine that's not interested in pearls. You throw it before people that learn to appreciate, that value it. In essence, here's what I'm saying is that there are people that genuinely are looking for God. Spend your time looking for people that are genuinely looking for God and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because people go between ripe and unripe. When a fruit is ripe, you don't have to yank it off the tree. When it's ripe, all you have to do is touch it and it falls off the tree. How about it?
This concludes the first half of our message called Roll Up Your Sleeves, which is from our series called Empowered, Spirit-Filled Witness. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. And as I mentioned earlier, Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of Pastor Mark, and if you would like a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. You can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find over 200 messages from Pastor Mark and a Bible app that will help you with your spiritual walk. Before you go, we invite you to visit us at our Midway location where you can hear Pastor Mark in person. It's 5101 South Keeler in Chicago near Midway Airport. If you're on the train, it's the Orange Line at the Pulaski stop. Join us at 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. Thank you so much for listening, and on behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the entire Straight Talk team, have a great evening. God bless.